You're choosing within it. And over time, that changes everything. So this isn't about getting rid of every pattern overnight. It's about becoming more conscious inside your life. Because the more aware you are, the less you repeat things blindly. And the more you start to respond from a place that feels aligned, truly feels aligned. So as you reflect on all of this, just a reminder that this isn't about labeling yourself and not about putting yourself in a box. It's about noticing patterns with a little more awareness and a little more curiosity, a little more compassion for yourself, because nothing is happening to you randomly. Things that feel repetitive, the things that feel familiar, the things that you've seen many, many times, they're usually pointing to something that's ready to be seen in a deeper way. Hello, hello, magical friends, yomis. My name is Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. And welcome to a Thursday episode. New schedule, exciting. Just a reminder that we are now doing episodes on Monday and Thursday, at least for now. And so Magic Monday will stay your more grounding and soulful and reflective space, and the episodes that will help you come back to yourself, they help me come back to myself and regulate and reset and feel a little more clear and anchored for your week. And then Thursday is going to be a little more open and a little more curious, and we'll explore things like numerology and intuitive tools, different spiritual concepts, reality transurfing more, aliens more, all the fun things, slightly otherworldly things, ghosts, you know, but always in a way that still feels grounded and actually useful and witchy. And so Monday is your anchor and Thursday is our little portal. Today's episode is definitely more in that portal energy, because we're talking about something in numerology that goes a little deeper than the basics. We've already had a basic episode. We've already had the Numerology 101 actually many times on this podcast, but even recently. And so this episode, we're talking about karmic numbers. And this was fun for me because it was a refresher to remind myself about karmic numbers. And I thought you might like to hear about it too. And I want to start though with a question for you. Have you ever felt like you keep going through the same lesson over and over and over again? Like different situations of it, you know, and also likely with different people, but somehow the feeling is the same and you realize the lesson is the same. That's what we're getting into today. It's actually something that's going to help us understand ourselves more, maybe even move through those patterns a little differently. So first, what are karmic numbers, you might be asking? And I want to explain this in a way that's simple, obviously. It won't be overly technical because I'm not an overly technical girl, but karmic numbers in numerology, they're not punishment like a lot of us might think. They're not about you doing something wrong, you did something wrong, or you're being tested by the universe. No, they're really about patterns. They represent areas in your life where certain numbers tend to repeat until they're understood on a deeper level. So instead of thinking of them as something negative, you can think of them as places where your growth is a little more intentional. And these lessons don't always show up in obvious ways. They can look like finding yourself in the same kind of relationship dynamic over and over, or running into the same emotional patterns, or feeling stuck in certain cycles that seem familiar. And it's not that life is against you, obviously, and it's that something is trying to be learned more fully. And once you start to see that, it shifts everything, because instead of asking, why does this keep happening to me? You start looking around and you start asking, what is this trying to show me? And that's where you start to move out of repetition and into awareness. And in numerology, there are a few specific numbers that are associated with these kinds of deeper lessons. And we're going to get into those, of course. But more than anything, I want you to just start thinking about your own life as we go through this. What patterns feel familiar? What lessons feel like they've shown up more than once? Because that awareness alone is where things begin to shift. So, what do these karmic patterns actually look like in real life? Because It's one thing to hear you have lessons, right? The universe is sending you lessons, but it's another to actually recognize them, bring awareness to them, integrate them, understand them. Usually they don't show up as something obvious, right? It's not like life hands you the same exact situation over and over again. Again, not with the same people or anything. It's more subtle than that, right? It's the pattern underneath the situation, the feeling, the dynamic, and it might look like dating different people and they seem like completely different, but somehow ending up in the same emotional experience. Or being in completely different environments, but still feeling the same kind of frustration or lack of control. Or even just noticing that certain things trigger you in a similar way, no matter where you are or who you're with. And I think one of the biggest signs is that when something feels weirdly familiar, like you've been here before, even if everything on the surface looks different, it can feel frustrating because you might think, why does this keep happening? Why am I here again, right? I mean, how many times have we been there? I know it's happened to me many times, but this is where the reframe comes in. Something is repeating until it's seen differently. Friends, I need to tell you something that Jordan and I have been seriously talking about for the summer. We live in Utah, right? And Utah is a great place for outdoorsy people. And so we've been looking at doing an RV trip. You know, we're not planning on buying an RV and changing our entire lifestyle or anything, just renting one for the summer through Outdoorsy. So if you haven't heard of it, Outdoorsy is basically the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the US, which means you can rent an RV or camper without owning one. And what I didn't realize is how easy it actually is. You literally, step one, search for a rig near you, then two, book it with insurance and roadside assistance included, and then three, either drive it yourself, tow it, or have it delivered and fully set up for you. Like, you can just show up and it's ready. And for summer 2026, this is kind of genius. Between the huge international soccer tournament coming to North America, America's 250th anniversary celebrations, and the 100th anniversary of Route 66, hotels are going to be wild. An RV lets you stay close to the action, or honestly, just closer to nature, closer to the river and the trailhead and to the beach, closer to the quiet. As a dog mom, the idea of bringing the boys without worrying about pet fees or weird hotel rules, that sounds great for me. Sounds dreamy. So Outdoorsy has thousands of rigs nationwide, from cute camper vans to full family-sized motorhomes, and they include comprehensive insurance, 24/7 support, and roadside assistance, so it doesn't feel risky. It actually feels freeing. So if you want to turn the drive into the vacation this summer, go check it out and use promo code MAGIC to have all service fees removed from your 2026 booking. That's kind of major. I'll link everything in the show notes so you can explore. Maybe we'll see each other on the road. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Lately, I've been thinking about how much financial stress can quietly affect us and in ways that we don't always talk about. It's not just about money, it's the mental load that comes with it, the overthinking, the pressure, the way it can impact your sleep and your mood and even your relationships. I know for me, there have been seasons where I've felt overwhelmed, trying to figure everything out, like I needed to have it all together financially in order to feel okay. And that kind of pressure can be really, really heavy to carry on your own. So something that I've learned is that struggling with money doesn't mean you've failed. It just means you're human and navigating life like the rest of us. And that's where therapy can be really supportive. Not for the financial advice, obviously, but for the emotional side of it. Therapy can help you understand your relationship with money and work through stress or shame and build healthier ways to cope so it doesn't feel so consuming. BetterHelp has a network of over 30,000 licensed therapists, and they match you based on your needs through a short questionnaire. And if it's not the right fit, you can switch at any time. When life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/yourownmagic. That's betterhelp.com/yourownmagic. And something I've noticed, even in my own life, is these patterns don't repeat because we're doing something wrong. They repeat because there's something we're being asked to understand more deeply. And sometimes that understanding isn't even logical. It's emotional and energetic. It's about how you respond. And so the moment that you start to notice these patterns, even if you don't fully change it yet, you've already started to shift because now you're aware, right? And awareness obviously creates choice, and choice is what eventually breaks the cycle. So as you're listening to this, just gently reflect, what in your life feels like it's shown up more than once? What feels familiar in a way you can't ignore? And not to judge it or anything, not to fix it immediately, just to notice it, because that noticing is the beginning of everything. Might as well actually get into the actual karmic numbers, because this is where numerology gets really, really interesting. Anyway, before I go through them though, I just want to say this, that if one of these hits for you, it doesn't mean something is wrong with you, okay? And it doesn't mean you're doomed to struggle with this lesson forever. It just means this may be one of the deeper lessons your soul and your life and your path, whatever language feels right to you, is asking you to work through this more consciously, bring more awareness to this. And honestly, I think there's something kind of comforting about that, because it means there's a reason certain themes feel so charged, right? There's a reason some lessons seem to repeat, or parts of life ask more from you than others, right? And so awareness, bringing it to yourself consciously, this gives you a different relationship to all of it. And instead of just being stuck in the pattern, you start to understand the pattern. And when you understand it, you can work with it. So to find your karmic debt number, you got to check if 13, 14, 16, or 19 appear in your birthday, life path number, or your name calculation. So these numbers, they'll signify lessons from past lives. They're usually identified by reviewing your core numerology chart. That helps a lot. So this is the most common, your birthday. If you were born on the 13th, 14th, 16th, or 19th of any month, you have a karmic number. My birthday is August 19th. Great. Life path number calculation. When calculating your life path number, so basically summing your birthday, totaling it all together, if you reach 13, 14, 16, or 19 before reducing it to a single digit, you have a karmic debt. And then your name, your expression number. These numbers can appear in calculations of your full birth name. There are many sites, and there's a free specialized tool, which I'll link in the show notes, that can help you automatically identify these numbers in your chart. Most people just look at the life path number, but there are other ways. For myself, when I calculate my life path number, adding 8, 1, 9, 1, 9, 9, 0, that reduces to 10, which reduces to 1. My life path number is 1. I do not have a karmic debt number. The interesting part is that since I was born on the 19th, I carry the karmic debt 19 energy. And this is one of the main ways karmic numbers show up, not just the life path, which my strengths would be naturally independent. I'm strong, capable, I'm self-led. I can figure things out on my own. I've got leadership energy, but my shadow patterns are, I'll just do it myself. Difficulty asking for help unless I really, really trust them, or feeling like I have to carry everything, pulling back instead of leaning in, guarding my vulnerability. So the deeper lesson for me is that learning that I don't have to do everything alone. Anyway, so let's start with 13. 13 is often connected to lessons around discipline and consistency and patience and structure. And this one can show up as a feeling of wanting results without wanting the slow, steady, sometimes boring process it takes to actually create them. It can look like starting and stopping, wanting change but resisting structure, or feeling overwhelmed by the idea of routine, or even swinging between being very motivated and then completely checked out. And honestly, this one can feel frustrating because the lesson itself is not very glamorous. It's usually about the simple things like showing up, doing what you said you were going to do, building something over time, trusting slow progress. So 13 energy can sometimes want the freedom of flow without the grounding of consistency. But the lesson here is that that real freedom often comes through structure, which doesn't sound sexy, but This is not harsh structure. It's not punishing structure, okay? It's supportive. It's so supportive. It's supportive structure. And that kind of structure helps you trust yourself more. So if 13 is strong for you, life may keep bringing you back to questions like, can you stay with something? Can you keep showing up even when it's not exciting? Or build instead of just wish? Or trust the power of slow progress. And that might sound simple, but it's actually really deep. It is. It's really deep because consistency is not just about productivity. It's about self-respect and integrity and becoming someone who can hold what they say that they want and really, really stick to it. So 13 is less about perfection and more about devotion. 14. Ooh, the karmic number 14, often connected to lessons about freedom and self-control, balance, moderation. And this number can carry a lot of intensity because it often deals with extremes like too much or too little, all in or all out, and grasping for control or resisting it completely. Wanting freedom, but also struggling with the responsibility that comes with it. So 14 can show up in patterns around impulsiveness, escapism, overindulgence, restlessness, difficulty finding a steady center. And that doesn't always mean something dramatic, okay? Sometimes it just feels like being pulled around by your own desires or moods or habits or distractions. Like you want peace, but you keep doing the thing that throws you off. Or you want freedom, but you keep using freedom in a way that disconnects you from yourself. You want balance, but your nervous system lives in the extremes. And the deeper lesson of 14 is, can you be free without losing yourself? And that's really what this number asks. Can you enjoy life without escaping it? Can you trust yourself with freedom? Can you hold pleasure, desire, spontaneity, and choice in a way that still feels grounded? Because real freedom is not chaos. Real freedom is being able to move through life without constantly being ruled by your impulses. And I think this one is especially interesting because so many of us romanticize freedom, but freedom without self-awareness can turn into self-abandonment. So 14 teaches you how to create internal steadiness by becoming more conscious. This number often asks for emotional maturity, self-regulation, and an honest look at what you tend to go to avoid discomfort. And once that lesson starts integrating, that can be so much more wisdom, because people with strong 14 energy often have a deep desire to feel alive. And they're learning how to do that in a way that is liberating, not just destabilizing. Now, karmic number 16. This one is a big one. 16 is often connected to lessons around ego, identity, humility, awakening, the breaking down of illusions. And honestly, this can be one of the most intense karmic numbers because it shows up through some kind of self-identity shift, right? Something falls apart. Something you thought was no longer part of your world, no longer feels true. A version of you dissolves. A belief system cracks open. Something you were attached to gets stripped back. And that can feel really painful when you're in it, because 16 energy often asks you to let go of what is false and misaligned and inflated or no longer real. And the hard part is that we usually don't want to let go until life makes it impossible not to. So this can show up as ego wounds, humbling experiences, relationship shakeups, spiritual disillusionment, major perspective shifts, or just seasons where life forces you inward in a way that you didn't choose. But the deeper beauty of 16 is that it clears illusion. It asks, what is actually true here? Who are you when the image falls away? What remains when the story you were telling yourself no longer holds? And that can lead to profound transformation, because 16 is not just about collapse. It's about awakening and becoming more honest and more real and more internally anchored and less attached to performance and image and fantasy or control. And I think that this number can be deeply spiritual because it often pushes people toward inner truth, not surface identity, not who you thought you were supposed to be, but who you really are underneath it all. So if 16 is part of your lessons, you may notice that life has a way of humbling you into truth, which honestly sounds intense because it is, but it can also become one of the most liberating lessons of all, truly, because when illusion falls away, you stop wasting energy holding on to what isn't real. And that's where deeper peace starts to enter. And then we have 19. 19 is often connected to lessons around independence and self-reliance, pride, vulnerability, and learning how to receive support. And this one often carries the energy of, I'll do it myself, right? And on the surface that, yeah, you can look very, very strong. This person is self-reliant and they're capable, they're independent, they're self-sufficient. And those things can absolutely be strengths. But the deeper shadow of 19 is when independence becomes isolation, when strength becomes a guardedness, when self-reliance becomes an inability to trust others or receive help or soften. 19 can show up as feeling like you always have to carry everything alone, struggling to ask for help, not wanting to depend on anyone, feeling disappointed by others and deciding it's easier to just rely on yourself, or having a hard time being truly vulnerable. And the lesson here is so tender. Honestly, it's so tender because it's not about losing your independence. It's about learning that true strength also includes openness and interdependence. It includes being supported and letting other people show up for you. And that can be really, really hard if somewhere along the way you learn that depending on others wasn't safe. So 19 often asks, can you stay strong without becoming closed off? Or can you trust support without feeling weak? Can you let yourself be seen, helped, loved, met, right? Can you do that? Can you let yourself be helped? Because there is a version of independence that is healthy and rooted, right? But then there is a version that is really just self-protection. And so 19 often brings that distinction to the surface. And the beautiful thing about this lesson is that once it begins to soften, there is so much expansion available because you stop carrying life alone and you stop proving that you don't need anyone. You stop confusing isolation with power, right? You learn a fuller version of strength, and that includes trust. So as you listen to these, you might feel really drawn to one or maybe more than one. And even if you don't know your exact chart or whether you technically have one of these karmic numbers in a specific placement, I still think it's valuable to notice what themes stir something in you, because sometimes the body recognizes a lesson before the mind fully understands it. Sometimes you hear something and you just know, okay, that feels familiar. And that familiarity matters, whether you know your karmic numbers or not, because these lessons are not here to shame you. And obviously, they're just here to support you, to help wake you up a little, to help you see yourself more clearly and move with more awareness. And so once you can name a pattern, it becomes so much easier to stop living inside it unconsciously. So now that we've talked all about the numbers and the patterns, the most important question becomes, well, what do you actually do with this? Because it's one thing to recognize a pattern, but it's another to start moving through it differently. And I want to say this first is that you don't need to fix everything overnight and you don't need to suddenly become a completely different person. That's not how this works, okay? This is about awareness and small shifts over time. Notice the pattern in real time. That's the first thing. This is the biggest one too, because usually we only recognize patterns after we're already in them, right? After the reaction or the spiral happens or the situation has already played itself out. But the shift happens when you start noticing it while it's happening. And then you catch yourself thinking, wait, I've been here before. I felt this before. This is one of my lessons. This feels familiar. Or maybe even think, I think I've been here before. And reflect on that. Even if you don't change anything yet, just the awareness alone creates space. And the second thing is to pause. Pause before repeating the same response. Once you notice it, give yourself a moment. You don't have to react immediately and you don't have to default to the same behavior. Just pause. Just pause and take a breath. Ask yourself, what would it look like to respond slightly differently here? not perfectly, not dramatically, just differently. And sometimes that shift is really small, and small shifts over time break big patterns. 3, get curious instead of judgmental. This is huge because it's really easy to hear this kind of information and think, why am I like this? Why does this keep happening to me? Why do I keep doing this? But that energy keeps you stuck. So instead, maybe try, that's interesting. That makes sense. Of course I respond this way. Shift your perspective in that way, because when you remove judgment, you actually create space for change. So get curious instead of judgmental on this lesson and what's going on in your life. It's just a lesson. We're human and we all have lessons. Then 4, stop making it mean that something is wrong with you. Okay? Because no, nothing's wrong with you. This is so important. Your patterns are not proof that you're broken or you're behind or falling. They're just showing up where your growth is. And honestly, everyone has something. Everyone has patterns and lessons that take time to integrate. So instead of seeing it as something to fix, you can start seeing it as something to understand. Last but not least, trust that awareness changes things over time. You don't have to force transformation and you don't have to control your growth. Once you become aware of a pattern, it naturally starts to loosen because you're no longer fully unconscious. You're witnessing it. You're choosing within it. And over time, that changes everything. So this isn't about getting rid of every pattern overnight. It's about becoming more conscious inside your life, because the more aware you are, the less you repeat things blindly. And the more you start to respond from a place that feels aligned, truly feels aligned. So as you reflect on all of this, just a reminder that this isn't about labeling yourself and not about putting yourself in a box. It's about noticing patterns with a little more awareness and a little more curiosity, a little more compassion for yourself, because nothing is happening to you randomly. Things that feel repetitive, the things that feel familiar, the things that you've seen many, many times, they're usually pointing to something that's ready to be seen in a deeper way. And the moment you start to allow yourself to see it, bring awareness to it, even just a little differently, try to change your perspective of it a little bit, that's when things begin to shift. And that's the kind of energy I'd say that these Thursday episodes want to bring you. Some opening your mind a little, right? Just opening your mind a little, exploring things that feel a bit deeper, a bit curious, a bit more otherworldly, but still bringing it back to something real, right? Something you can actually use in your life. So take what resonates in this, leave what doesn't, as always, and just let yourself explore. And with that said, stay connected with me outside the podcast, Instagram, or Substack. My username is @RaquelMantra. That's RaquelMantra. And with all that said, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for your magic.